Well, glory to God. We went up to Quebec, and to be honest with you, I went up personally because I wanted to find out from the Lord whether or not He wanted me to go back to Quebec to minister at the level that that I will be ministering. And so when I went up, I met a friend of mine the first night. And he's been pastoring up there for decades. In fact, he's taken his doctorate and will be a doctor in within 2 years or 3 years or something. But he's the right guy for it. He's not just doing it because he wants the name. There's many, 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 many people doing that for the name. But it seems to be his call. So while we were there, he says to me, because we spent a lot of time there, we give maybe some of the best years of our life. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about my whole family here. And he says, Mike, Quebec needs you. And it wasn't to build me up or anything like that. It was to say Quebec needs you because Quebec needs fathers. There is so much abuse in Quebec. And maybe I'll share this part along with the good part. Some of the stuff that I heard and some of the people that I ministered to were people that was almost shocking, the type of abuse that they were going through. And I'm going to share this because I know that it would be okay. I'm not going to mention any names. But one lady, she was beaten so bad by her father that he broke her eardrum inner and outer. And at one of the meetings, I had a word of knowledge and said that there's somebody here that has a ringing in their ears. By the way, my level of anointing out there is like 10 times more than what it is here, because when I'm out there, I'm moving under the protection of the Lord, and I'm moving in my full office, if you will. And so in that obedience, the Lord really anoints and really, really blesses. I mean, it's wonderful to stand up here and to preach and teach, but my calling is really to teach to the body of Christ and to be a father to the body of Christ. I'm not interested in positions. That is long gone, long, long gone. I'm interested in seeing the body of Christ grow to a place where they for themselves can learn to hear the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. And can learn to walk in a maturity that they don't need to have the all the time, the support and ministry. One time, and I'm getting off track here, I'll get back to that in a minute, but one time in Quebec when I was pastoring, it was a Saturday night and I was preparing for the message in the morning, and the Lord said, don't minister to them in the morning. Like, in other words, don't have a healing line. He says, because they're beginning to look to you as a priest. And he says, they seem to be able to do what they want through the week and then come to you on a Sunday morning, and boom, you pray for them and their sins are gone and they go right back out. They were adapting. And listen, understand me, okay? They were adapting the format of Catholicism. And I was born and raised Catholic. I'm not against them. I'm against some of the things, yes. I don't believe or agree with some of the things, but that don't make it any different in terms of me. That's the way I was born and raised, so I understand that. But that's my call, is to help people and to say things that may hurt only for a minute, but to say the truth. And so this is what Pastor Marcel was talking to me about. He says, Quebec has had a lot of fathers that have been a no-show. I brought up here with me just a few of these people. This is one guy here. He's got an album. This guy is so good. He builds guitars. And he put together a CD. And not that they don't, but in his home, he builds guitars. He has a little shop there. He also has a recording studio. And other than the bass, he's played everything on this. I don't know how many songs there is. We didn't listen to the French part. 10, 11. There's 12 songs. Two of them are English. And to me, they're really, really good. He plays everything on them except the bass. And so they're not for sale or anything. He only gave me a couple of them. We actually have one at the back, and I have one here. But in talking to another person, he wrote a book on The Fatherless Meets His Dad. This is their mindset. Another one, he says, My Journey with My Dad. Now, these are people that I was running into, and it seemed to be exactly this. Now, this is after I left Pastor Marcel. I met him at first. He says, yes, Quebec does need fathers. Now, I'm English, and we were in places that there, honestly, there are people who cannot speak a word of English. And we had interpretation. God provided that. He provided shelter and food. And we did make some money. A lot of it went into our expenses and so on. But that's another story. It doesn't matter. I don't go for the money. I go because of the call. If it's his will, it's his bill. He'll take care of me. We're totally out there in this. And God has released us to go. Now, I want to say this. In the last number of years, I have tried to get out there myself. And some of you, if you've known me for a few years, you would know that that's actually what was happening. When we first went into River of Life, the story is, and how it goes is this, is that I was ministering one Sunday morning at River of Life, and I was okay with that. That was not a problem. I was beginning to build up to go back out, because I really like to minister out there. I like to drive, and I like to meet people, and I like to go into situations and so on and hear the voice of God speak to me, and then I stand up and speak the truth based on what he's given me. I don't look for messages that are not pertaining to the situation that we need to address. So with River of Life, when we met with Derek on a Sunday morning, Pastor Derek, he actually invited me into his office after we had met. Now, I don't know. I look around here. Maybe Patrick, you were there, and maybe Wendy, you were there. I'm not sure. But anyways, and I thought, okay, well, that's good. And all the rest out after ministering Sunday morning. But he called me in his office, and we went into the office, and he said, have a seat. So he had his desk, and behind his desk, he had his seat. So I sat in one of the seats before, looking towards him and his desk and everything. He says, no, sit in the other seat. I said, I'm not sitting there. That's your seat. I mean, I've never met him. Well, maybe I did meet him. I didn't know him at that time. He says, no, you need to sit there behind the desk. And I says, no, I'm not supposed to. I don't want to sit there. And finally, he said, sit there. And I said, okay, I'll play with this. No problem. I went and sat in his chair behind his desk in his office. And he said, how does it feel? I said, well, I don't like it, to be honest. Because what he was getting at was, he was saying that you're supposed to pastor this church. God has spoken to me, but I was not, it didn't jive. There was no, I mean, people can say what they like. People can prophesy and all the rest of it. But if it's not in here first, I discard it. In any case, finally we went out to lunch. And while we're sitting at lunch with him and his wife, they said, yes, you are supposed to pastor this church. God has been very strong. And he told me, blah, 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 because he was retiring. And then I thought, then it dropped. I know that God has been raising Elaine and Jamie up as pastors. I said, okay, on one condition. I said that we come as a team. And I didn't mind helping and associating, but God has called these two to be the senior pastors. I says, as long as you have that down and it's clear, then we can proceed. He says, no problem. And so we proceeded, and the rest is history. The thing is, though, I thought I was going out, but I wasn't. It was before I had to deal with a couple other major sicknesses. When I dealt with other major sicknesses, it was God that came along and said, now it's time. See, I tried in my own strength. I thought that I was going out there because I knew what to do out there. And actually, I did. But listen to this. The message inside me was not formed yet. It was not like the Rock of Gibraltar yet. It was not formed in me. And I'm going to share this because I know that there are people that are looking out and looking in terms of doing this. And if the message is not formed in you yet, you're going to go down. You're not going to go out as far as what the Lord has called you. Anyways, back to Quebec. We need a lot of fathers in Quebec. And because I did spend over 10 years there, it was a place that they just couldn't come along and say, well, you're English, what do you know about it? Because I'm beginning to get a little bit known there and the word has been passed on and so on. We went to, and Donna, my dear, you can jump in anytime. We went to only three churches. We had four meetings in one church. We were so far up in the boonies, our phones didn't work. We had to come out an hour and a half to get our phones to work. But that didn't matter. There was landlines in case there was an emergency. But we were in our position, if you will. We were in our calling, and it was great. So getting back to this person, in terms of the things that have been shocking, one of these gals, her dad beat her so bad, and not just once, but she had an inner eardrum problem. And God, give me the word of knowledge in terms of there is someone here with a problem with their ear and it's ringing, but it's only sometimes. And this was that person. There was others too. One, now you need to listen to this. One person was there. Let's just say there was one person. And she was raped by her father. And they had three kids together. Three. Not just one. Three. Things like this are going on. The fathers that are even good fathers are called off to work because there is no work there. But the other fathers seem to have this sort of idea that they can just go around making babies and not taking care of them. And it's a very sad, sad situation. So we would minister into that, and God would move in powerful, mighty ways. With that, I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay. Oh, the lady with the ear when we prayed? She got a healing. But the other part of it was, too, she had unforgiveness towards her dad. And she couldn't forgive her father. But I said, you need to begin to start to forgive your dad. I mean, if you can't forgive your dad all at once, okay. I mean, the Lord understands that. But you need to be willing to start. And we got her to that point where she was willing to start. And God is so amazing that he wants to heal. And I'm just talking to you about the tip of the iceberg here. There are a lot of small churches. One of these guys here this morning is the first time, the first Sunday in the last 2 or 3 weeks, where he's speaking on his own with no help. Help, I mean, in terms of ministry-wise, after a division. But there's a lot of division, a lot of splinters. A lot of people, a lot of things that are going wrong because there's no unity. Everybody seems to want this position, and I don't get it. I'm going to say this too, and not because of me. One of the divisions that we had up there, I heard this from a reputable source, from another pastor. When he first came along, he joined up with somebody to divide the church that I was pastoring. And I'm not going to go into that story, but one thing he did say was the biggest mistake of his ministry. He's still in ministry. This is at least 15 years ago. Is that he came against the set man and tried to divide the church. And he did divide it. But he said that was the biggest mistake in his ministry, because now he's known as someone who caused division. Wasn't because of me. Because at any time, and I'll be honest with you, I thought, Lord, you know what? I want to drop this. I'm not interested in pastoring anyway at that time. I said, I'd just like to forget about this and go after these guys, because I really hate when people come in and cause division. I'm not talking about having opinions or being upset or so on. But when you start hammering against the pastors, especially prophetical people, you are operating in the spirit of Jezebel, for sure. It's interesting that the Lord talks about mammon. He talks about it in Matthew 6:24, Luke 16:9, 11, and 13. Not a lot of people talk about that, and that is talks about money. People seem to hide that or sweep it under the carpet. There is a way to give, and if you love God, you will give, period. But there are also other three main particular spirits. One is the spirit of Apollyon or Abaddon, which in French, I'm sorry, French, which in Greek and Hebrew means violence. And so under that you see all the fears and all the stuff, division and so on. So there's Apollyon and Abaddon. There's also the spirit of Jezebel, which is number two. And number three is the Antichrist. We see them so much on the rise today. And we need to be careful. I believe that when we're born into this world, the enemy starts immediately in terms of dealing with us in terms of these particular things. We need to understand and know what they are and understand what the Spirit of God is first. And I believe that the only inoculation against that kind of stuff for our own lives is praying in the Spirit. I'll also say, too, that if we don't begin to pray in the Spirit, we are going to be taken out easier than if we did not. Praying in the Spirit is our only inoculation against deception. Praying in the Spirit, it's the Spirit of truth. When you pray in the Spirit, if there's anything in you of that nature, I mean, there's more demonics, but we don't have to go into that, because God is on the throne. He's made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. And I believe when we get up in the morning, they should take an aspirin, not us. Amen? But we still have to deal with them from time to time. So anyways, the woman who had the major problem, and she went like this and showed me, and it was a serious issue, because I understand that. I had some of that problem when they took my ear off, when they operated on me. But this was because of violence, of smashing against the ear and so on. But they're lovely people. They're amazingly wonderful people. I'm not talking about the separatists. I mean, when you're driving down Highway 40, you'll see a sign that says Canada's national capital. That's not the French people from Quebec. That's the separatists that are in there trying to cause division of country, of province, of people. They're always sowing this. They're writing them in the books and all the rest of it. Anyways, something you wanted to say yet? You can come up and talk about that. We had a good time.
Suffer the little children not, for such is the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah. There was one gal at one of the Sunday morning services. She came in and she was so racked with pain that she could hardly move to get to her seat, and she needed help to sit down in her seat. And when it came for ministry time, we had to help her up out of her seat in order to pray for her. And we ministered to her. And immediately her, I was going to say visage, I started speaking French again. Her countenance changed. And throughout the rest of the service, you could see that she was starting to move a little bit better. She had fibromyalgia, a long time apparently. And she had been healed once before of it, but somehow it managed to come back on her, because I don't know She's new to that church, whether she's been taught or not how to hang on to your healing. But anyways, so the service ended. They came back for the evening service. She came back, and I am not kidding, she was a different human being. She wasn't limping. She had no problem doing anything. She was feeling so good that she even changed her hair color in the afternoon for the night, and she was so full of joy. It was literally, and it wasn't a miracle, because it didn't happen instantaneously. She actually walked it out through the day till when she came back, but she was a different human being that night. And it's just amazing to watch these kind of things going on.
All right, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But before we do that, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. I will definitely not keep you long this morning. And we know this scripture. Many of us could quote it off by heart, but I want to reiterate it this morning. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Talks about spirit, soul, and body. So what is the difference between the soul and the body, and the spirit? We know what the body is. That's that handsome and beautiful thing that we walk around in all day. But the soul and the spirit. Well, the spirit is what responds to the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, you must be born again. It's your spirit that becomes born again, and you become the righteousness of God in Christ. The soulish part is your mind, will, and emotions, right? And that's the part that we have to work out. Philippians 2, verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So if someone was here today and they got born again, instantly they become the righteousness of God. If a bomb was dropped in this building, they're gone to heaven. The thing is, though, if a bomb is not dropped on the building, they have to work out their own salvation by renewing their mind, and they have to grow in the Lord. Because when they come to Christ, they still don't know nothing about the Word or nothing about Christianity. They may have heard this or made that, but they've never heard anything, basically, as a new creation, and so they have to grow and they have to learn. And along the way, there are pitfalls, there are opposition, but there are also amazing times that we can spend with the Lord. And so one of the main things is, and I can't stress it enough, is to be praying in the Spirit, because the Spirit prays for us and in us and through us. What other kind of deal would you want? He's an amazing God. But here's the situation. Our spirit and soul, they're going to live forever. You cannot reach in and grab or touch either one of them. It's impossible. You can't reach in and touch your soul. You can't reach in and touch your spirit. But it's a spirit that responds to the Lord, correct? Also, your soul and spirit are going to live forever. You remember the man, Lazarus, and the rich man? They were both died, and they knew where they were and all the rest of it. The rich man knew he was suffering. Lazarus knew that he was in Abraham's bosom, that he was in pretty good shape, waiting for the Lord to come. And when the Lord came, he went there, he preached to them. They said, yeah, that's the person we've been looking for. Shoom. When the Lord went to heaven, they went with him. But here's the situation. We need to work out our own salvation. We need to work it out. We need to spend time. And it's very important. Very important. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about the whole spirit, soul, and body being preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. For concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Anytime we see that in Scripture, make sure that you are not ignorant of it, because when the enemy reads that, he says, oh, I want to send a few more demons over there of confusion just to make you ignorant. because this is very important, so I'm going to try and stop this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Remember that scripture. There are doctrines of demons out there. They're sounding good. And they are teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh, or Jesus was not the Son of God, or whatever. Jesus was not perfect. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there are many gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord Jesus Christ. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So we see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in these gifts. It's very important. Verse 7, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith, by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healings, by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. Memorize this verse, study, and look at it. Because there are many people that believe they walk around with these gifts and they can use them at their will. And it's not true. Verse 11 says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. It's the Holy Spirit that wills for us to move in these giftings. Now, it's easy, and I know we've talked about it before, to understand that a pastor will have more gifts pertaining to that specific office. One of the things that a pastor will have is the gift of discerning of spirits. God is not going to allow someone to come in and operate as a wolf and all the rest of it as a false prophet without the pastor knowing. It's just part of the deal. With a teacher, he's going to operate in the gift of the word of wisdom and the gift of the word of knowledge. He's going to know what to say because God is going to show him, and he's going to need the word of wisdom as to when and what type of people to preach it in. There's some messages that you can't preach to some people because they're not ready for it, or it's way below where they are mature-wise. It's amazing to travel around and see this. What an honor it is. I'm telling you, it's a really humbling, humbling experience. One of the meetings that we were at there, I mean, you could tell that you did not have to talk too much about the Holy Spirit. But there are other places, one place in particular, there was a lot of new converts. And so Holy Spirit was right like there. It was something that should be talked about. And so in confiding in the pastor of this one place, pastor said, yeah, go for it, because I believe that that's what we need here. So in terms of speaking, just basic stuff on the Holy Spirit and so on, there was, six or seven that came up, or maybe eight, I'm not sure, who came up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, this was kind of funny. I don't speak French. I have trouble with English, too, as you can see. But that's coming. I'm getting better in English. No, but... But as they were speaking in tongues, because I didn't even have to lay hands on them, it just the Spirit of God dropped, and I could see the Spirit of God all over them. And so I had to go close because I didn't know if they were speaking French or tongues. And I told the pastor later, he just laughed. But it was the only time I had to go close to listen because I didn't know what they were speaking. And they were speaking in tongues. It was amazing. Deliverances were happening and so on and so forth. But I want to stress this point that, listen, to get to a point, and we will never totally, I don't know if we'll arrive at the place where we look exactly like Jesus. Let's not be deceived. He wants us to be as he is. but he has a body. And in that body, we will and should look like Jesus. You have a part to play. You have a part to play. I have a part to play. But once we begin to start coveting other parts of the body, let's say that we're a foot and we're in a sock. We handle all the weight all day. But yet, let's say someone else is a hand. The foot can't say to the hand, you know what, I want to be a hand. You get to see, you count, you hold that nice coffee that you drink, whatever it is. You know, you get to lay your hands on people spiritually and so on. But me, I just stand there and I take all the pressure all day. You have to find out where you are. And if you don't find out where you are, you'll go through life not knowing where you're supposed to be. And that, to me, would be one of the greatest letdowns, greatest disappointments when we get to heaven. Because Jesus would say, you know what? I give you so many tools, primarily the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Yes, we have the Word, but who wrote the Word? The Holy Spirit. Mixed with the Word, the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth. But many of us don't get that. Many of us walk in areas that we're not sure we're supposed to be. We're good at some stuff and we're walking in areas, but we're not completed in that area. The message has not been formed yet. Many of you people know what I'm talking about. Many of you people are working towards the place where God has for you. Yous know it, and God knows it. But many are out there running free and shouldn't be, because you'll never get to the place if you do not allow the Holy Spirit to show you where you're going. Now, I mentioned there was three spirits, strong ones, and I know that people could argue about that, but that's not the situation. People could also argue about mammon. I don't know if I've ever heard very many messages about the spirit of mammon. But Jesus was the only one that mentioned it. And so why shouldn't we talk more about it? The thing is, though, when we bring up finances, there are so many different beliefs on it. Like some believe that if we don't give, we're under a curse. Well, which curse is it? Because there's two types of curses, right? There's the curse where the witches take you and stick needles in you like they would a doll. Like in terms of voodoo, and pray against you and fast and violently curse you, okay? And they would pray that your health would go, that your finances would go, and that everything about you would just die. That's a curse. But then there's another curse, and I believe it's K-A-T-R-I. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at it in a long time. It's just coming to me now to share it. But if this is where we should be in the blessing and the walk of God, this is not a violent curse, but you're just, if this is a line, you're just under it. You never see the blessings because you walk in disobedience in terms of finances. But you'll never know what you're supposed to do unless the Spirit of Truth tells you. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians that are there. So when you see people, and I've seen this over and over, you have too, they'll get on the television, and not only TV, and they'll say, if you don't give, we're going out. Well, goodbye. Goodbye. A lot of them are preaching to the TV to get to you, to soulishly, get to your emotions so that you will feel sorry and then you'll give. When really the Lord is saying, why don't you give here? This is a work that I'm doing. It's like fighting, right? Why fight over here when the fight's going on over here? We need to know what's going on. And so that's the type of curse that we could, if you want to call it a curse, could walk under. Because as a Christian, God is not going to allow the demons to do everything to knock you out, to take you out, to put cancer on you. That's a bunch of baloney. But we can, if we're not careful, walk under that line where everything, when we pray for, it's like praying for finances, our bills are not met. this is not working, something is not working, and you don't know why. So you apply that prayer on the shelf where you have 1,000 other prayers. And so we have to break through that. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm telling you, the Spirit of truth will show you. He'll show you so many things. Because you have been born again, and in that born-again seed, that incorruptible seed, is the blueprint for your life. Ultimately, it's to become and to look like the Lord Jesus Christ. But in there is what you should be and what God is calling you to be. But we'll never know it if we just put the word away or we don't pray in the Spirit. Very simple. God speaks to us in about 4 ways. Through the inner witness, when you know that something is wrong or God is warning you. Number one. Number two, through the word. And I say that because the word is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. But there's no 2 Mike 3:16 that will tell me what to do when I walk out of here today. So there's the inward witness, but the inward witness would say, don't go that way and don't walk between that car because someone may be speeding down the road and hit you. That's the inner witness. So the inner witness, the word, then there's the visions and dreams, and then there's the voices. We have to know that it's the Spirit of God speaking to us. Finally, I want to read something here about the little old Jezebel spirit. Now, I want to say this before we start, that I believe that when we're born into this world, the enemy starts working on us to teach us how to control, to teach us how to perform, to teach us how to win at any cost. He is the God that wants to take us down the garden path, if you will, and he'll use any means. Any means at all. He's done a good job in terms of Mammon. Mammon actually has become almost like a person. It's an idol to many people. In Quebec, there was a guy, and I knew he didn't have any money, and he wanted to write me out a check. I says, look, I didn't come here for this. I don't want you to do that. He says, how do you spell your name? In a rebuking manner. I says, well, it's M-I-K-E-O-B-R-I-N. Because if God is telling them to give, I'm not going to stop them. But that's not the purpose for me going. I have no inner or any meaning out there that I want position, money, or anything like that. Because someday I have to stand in front of the Lord. Someday. Another one wanted to start, move from a house meeting into a larger building. And I says, well, why don't you? He says, well, I feel the Lord speaking strongly to me. And I says, well, you need to do it. He says, yeah, but we only have certain people coming, and they won't be enough to pay for the mortgage or the rent. I says, well, God didn't say anything about that. He said for you to do it. So you need to go do it. Well, he didn't like that. But it doesn't matter. If God tells you to do something, you don't go to your bank account and say, well, Mr. Royal Bank or Mr. TD Bank or whatever. Now, you have to be wise. You just can't go out and do it. But if God is telling you to, there's a difference because he'll bless you as you go. Now, I want to read these, and I want you to love me after more than you love me now because I know you love me. I'm going to name some things, some points here. And this is called 14 Characteristics of the Jezebel Spirit. Remembering that once we're born into this world, the enemy is working these as soon as we're born. I believe that with all my heart. When we become born again and we begin to know the Lord and the Word, pray in the Spirit and so on, these things will fall off if we're listening to the Lord. Here's number one. While it's almost unrecognizable at first, such individuals are threatened by a prophetic leader who is the main target of concern. Although such people will seem to have the prophetic gifts, their aim is actually to control those who move in the prophetic realm. To increase their favor, such individuals often zero in on the pastor and church staff and then seek to find the weakest link in order to subdue them. Their eventual goal is to run the church. You know why I'm speaking about this morning? Because the Lord has told me to, but I'm seeing this in Quebec to the point where it is devastating. Their eventual goal is to run the church. Number three, seeking to gain popular and pastoral endorsement, such individuals will form strategic affiliations with people who are perceived by others to be as spiritual or influential with others. Number four, to appear spiritual, such individuals will seek recognition by manipulation situations to gain an advantage. Such individuals often conjure up dreams and visions from their imaginations, or they borrow them from others. Number five, when these individuals receive initial recognition, they often respond with false humility. However, this trait is short-lived. Number six, when confronted, these individuals will become defensive. They will justify their actions with phrases like, "Well, I'm just following God," or "God told me to do this." Number seven, these individuals will often allege having great spiritual insight into church, government, and affairs, but they will not appeal to proper authority. Rather, they first appeal to others, often asking their opinion, and their opinion becomes the last word on matters, thereby elevating their thoughts above the pastor's. Number eight, having impure motives, these individuals will seek out others, desiring to have disciples, needing constant affirmation from their followers. Number nine, desiring to avoid accountability, these individuals prefer to pray for other people, in isolated situations, in a corner of another room. Thus, innuendos and false prophetic words can easily be challenged. Cannot be easily challenged. Number 10, eager to gain control, these people will gather others and seek to teach them. While the teachings may begin correctly, doctrine is often established that is not supported by the Word of God. Number 11, deceiving others by soulish prophecy or by giving words that someone wants to hear. These individuals seek to gain credibility. They prophesy half-truths or little-known facts as though they were from God. Such individuals may also take advantage of someone else's poor memory by twisting their previous prophecies to make it seem as if their words have come to pass. Although the laying on of hands is biblical, these individuals like to impart a higher level in the spirit or break down walls that have held someone back by the laying on of hands. However, their touch is actually a curse instead of a blessing. An evil spirit may be imparted. 13, masking poor self-esteem with spiritual pride, these individuals want to be seen as the most spiritual ones in the church. They may be the first to cry, wail, or mourn, claiming a burden from God. However, they are no different from the Pharisee who announced their gifts in order to be seen by men. Number 14, usually such individuals' family life is shaky. These individuals may be single or married. If married, their spouse is usually weak, spiritually unsaved, or miserable. They begin to dominate and control everyone in the family. Now, I would like to say that by praying in the Spirit, He is the Spirit of truth. He will deal with these issues. I know personally, and I'm making a confession here in my family, I don't know if it was because it was Irish or whatever, but I had people in my family that violence was part of an everyday thing. It wasn't like we had a plan to do something in a month or something. It seemed like every day or every other day we had some situations and problems in the area of violence. And I know that there are other people who do as well. I know, too, that There are other people who have problems with believing heresy, which is the Antichrist. I've just talked about Jezebel. I've talked about violence. Now, Antichrist simply means instead of Christ. But Jesus coming back soon, and he wants a church without spot or wrinkle. If any of these points pertain to you, take them and pray in the Spirit. But please pray in the Spirit. And if there's something that you have in terms of something against each other or against the pastors, go to them. There's no other way. In Matthew 18, it talks about if you have aught against somebody, go to them. Talk it out. If they won't listen, take a friend, but a godly person. Not somebody that totally just agrees with you. If that doesn't work, then go and take an elder. Go to them and talk it out. If that doesn't work, and then you just have to treat this person like a heathen, if everything is right. For example, in 1 Corinthians 5, there was a man having his father's wife. Hopefully, that it wasn't his real mom, that it was his stepmom. I mean, that might be a little better. I don't know. Like the situation that was up in Quebec there, about the real father having his daughter and having three kids. I couldn't imagine it. First of all, how that person is still living and going on. But it's happening. Things are happening. And the devil will come in the back door, the side door, any door at all. If you're weak in an area, then get strong. Get strong. Allow the Lord to deal with issues in your life. Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you for this word, Lord. Lord, if there's anything that I said, me, let it fall to the ground. My opinions or my thoughts. But Father, I have spoke in honesty and truthfully, Lord. And I've shared my heart. But Lord, if there's anything here that anyone has to look at, and Father, speak to them as well. Let the words cut in like the sword of the Spirit. Cause them to go to you, Lord. For Lord, we do not want division. We want peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We need unity to be able to pray for people, to see arms and legs grow, to see blind eyes open and ears open. We need to see people with their heart, Lord, moved in such a way that they would be free and healed. Rejection's gone. Fear of man, fear of failure. The things that are pertaining to the world system. Father, if there's any Christians that are in the world system, we say thank you, Lord, for pulling them out. Bring them to us, Lord, and let us give us a boldness. In Jesus' name, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. We need a boldness beyond compare, and I'll finish with this. We stopped in Cornwall near the 401, and I got out of the car, and we were going into the restaurant, and God told me, he says, go back and get one of your books. So I did. I went back in the car and took a book, and I didn't know this, but I walked into the restaurant, and in the foyer was a track-holding thing for Christian tracks, so I knew I was to put the book in there. We come out after eating. And there was a Pakistani girl pulls up. She was 30 to 35. And she looked a little distressed, and we were getting into the car. And God says, go speak to her. So I did. I walked over to the car, and I said, are you a Christian gal? She says, no. She says, what are you, psychic? I says, no, I'm not psychic. I'm a minister. She jumped out of the car. I thought, wow. And she ran over. She said, will you please bless me? See, she's searching. And I prayed for her there. And then I gave her a book. But she's searching. And after I prayed, she said, do you think everything will be okay? I said, yes, everything will be okay. I wasn't lying to her, but I was thinking, if you read the prayer at the back, and if you give your heart to Christ, everything will be okay. It doesn't matter who they are. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Incidentally, on this book here, I had somebody that came and wants to translate it into French because the book is needed. The book will bring people to Christ. So please pray for that, okay?